This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
It's part one of the Morning Ag Show, brought to you this morning by Farm Credit Illinois, by your John Deere dealer, the Sloan Implement Company, and by Taylor Tire and Auto of Litchfield. Now with part one of the Morning Ag Show, we join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thank you very much, Randy, and good morning. We'll take a look at your grain futures on the Chicago Board of Trade from Tuesday's close. Corn for December was a penny and a half higher to 374 and three quarters. March corn was a penny and a quarter higher to 385 and a half. May corn was three quarters higher to 392 and three quarters. Soybeans for November were a penny and three quarters higher to 894 and a half. January beans were a penny and three quarters higher to 907 and three quarters. March beans were up 2 pennies to 919. Chicago wheat for December traded a penny and a quarter lower on Tuesday to 481 and three quarters. March wheat was a penny and a half lower to 488 and a half. May wheat was three quarters lower to 494. Soybean meal for October was 90 cents higher to 295.40. December bean meal was also 90 cents higher to 299.50. January bean meal Tuesday was a dollar higher to 301.30. Finally, soybean oil for October was a penny higher to 29.20. December bean oil was 2 cents higher to 29.33. January bean oil was also 2 cents higher to 29.58. So to recap your closing grain futures from Tuesday, corn was 1 to 2 cents higher, soybeans were 1 to 2 cents higher, wheat was 1 to 2 cents lower, soybean meal was 90 cents to a dollar higher, soybean oil gained a penny to 2 pennies. Now we'll move on and take you to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for Tuesday's Cash Grain Report.
This is Tuesday's report of the grain prices and trends prepared by the Illinois Department of Agriculture. A crop progress report. Illinois corn is 45% good to excellent. Nationwide, 57% good to excellent. Corn maturity in Illinois at 26%. Nationwide at 29% mature. Corn harvested in Illinois at 2%, nationwide at 7%. Illinois soybeans are 43% good to excellent, and nationwide 54% good to excellent. In the northern and western Illinois country, grain dealers quoted shelled corn bids were up 2 to 3 cents at 329 to 366. Soybean bids were up 1 to 2 cents at 820 to 844. In central Illinois, country grain dealer quoted shelled corn bids were up 1 to 2 cents at 353 to 372. Soybean bids were up 2 cents at 829 to 874. In the southern part of the state, shelled corn bids were steady to 2 cents higher at 322 to 387. Soybean bids were up 1 to 4 cents at 819 to 854. Illinois soybean processors' cash soybean bids were up 2 to 3 cents at 850 to 884. Basis was unchanged to 1 over at 44 under to 10 under the November. High pro soybean meal on a truck basis was offered at $278.40 to $298.40 per ton, with basis unchanged to 2 under at 17 under to 3 over the October. Illinois corn processors' cash corn bids were up 2 cents at $375 to $390, with basis unchanged at option to 15 over the December. Illinois River Loging Elevator quoted their producer corn bids steady to 2 cents over at $352 to $370. With basis down 1 to 3 at 23 under to 5 under the December. Soybeans ended up 3 cents at 842 to 850, with basis up 1 at 52 under to 44 under the November. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators placed their producer corn bids up 2 to 4 cents at 369 to 370. These elevators raised their soybean prices 2 to 5 cents, with quotations at 864 to 866. Soft wheat closed down 1 cent at 483 to 484, and Milo ended the day up 2 cents at 360 to 361. Contract bids to producers for October-November 2019 delivery. Northern corn at 331 to 365, soybeans at 818 to 854. Contract bids to producers for October-November 2019 delivery in the central part of the state. Corn at 349 to 372, soybeans at 832 to 874. Contract bids to producers for October-November 2019 delivery in the southern part of the state, corn at 322 to 385, soybeans at 818 to 854, and June-July wheat at 462 to 493. That concludes our grain report. This is Katie Lemonager with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Your closing livestock futures Tuesday were mixed but mostly higher across the Mercantile Exchange. Live cattle for October were 27 cents higher to 102.12. December live cattle were 35 cents lower on Tuesday to 107.42. February live cattle were 15 cents lower to 113.95. Feeder cattle for September were 35 cents lower to 141.25 Tuesday. October feeders were 40 cents higher to 141.65. And November feeders were 47 cents higher to 140.20. Finally, lean hogs for October gained $1.05 to $62 even. December lean hogs gained 72 cents to $69.10. February lean hogs gained 80 cents to $75.92. So to recap your closing livestock futures from Tuesday, live cattle were 35 cents lower to 27 cents higher. Feeder cattle were 35 cents lower to 47 cents higher. And lean hogs were 72 cents higher to $1.05 higher. Now we'll move on and take you back to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for Tuesday's Cash Livestock Report.
This is the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Tuesday Afternoon Livestock Report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for 200-pound pork carcass traded $1.29 higher, in a range of $39 to $48 with a weighted average carcass price of $45.88. From the Illinois Direct Sow Port, slaughter sow price were steady with moderate demand for moderate heavy offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds traded at 15 to 19, 4 to 5 weighted 16 to 21, 5 to 6 weighted 18 to 24, and over 600 pounds, $20 to $26. In the Illinois direct hog trade, prices of barrels and guts country buying points were steady with moderate demand for moderate offerings, ranged from $25 to $31. Receipts for Illinois barrels and guts have totaled $29,150. In the direct cattle trade, the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, choice steers and live bases trade at $105.50. From the National Daily Pork Plant Port, trading for retail and processing cuts was established with 387 loads traded. Calculations for 200-pound pork carcass was $69.74, which is 44 cents lower. From the National Box Beef Cutout Port, values for choice and select beef carcasses are trading lower. Choice carcasses are $215.39, which is $1.06 lower, while select carcasses are $189.66, which is $1.18 lower. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 117,000 compared to 118,000 last week and 119,000 one year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated 489,000 compared to 488,000 last week and 470,000 one year ago. A recap of the Fairview livestock auction had total receipts of 473. Compared to last week, slaughter steers and heifers traded steadily. Slaughter cows sold $1.25 to $6.75 higher, and slaughter bulls were $12.50 higher. Choice steers at $101 to $107.50, choice heifers at $99.50 to $106. Breaker cows average dressing at $55 to $66. Boner cows average dressing at $53 to $63. Lean cows average dressing at $48 to $58, and bulls ones and twos, average dressing at $74 to $83. That concludes our report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And that's all for part one of the Morning Ag Show, brought to you by Taylor Tire and Auto of Litchfield, by Farm Credit Illinois, and by your John Deere dealer, the Sloan Implement Company. Part two of the Morning Ag Show, brought to you by CHS, farmer-owned with global connections, by Wall Street Financial, by the Montgomery County Farm Bureau, where membership means value, and by the CNB Bank and Trust, with 19 locations to serve you. Once again, we join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thank you very much, Randy. And in Ag News for a Wednesday morning, the Chinese Vice Premier, who's leading China's efforts in the trade talks with the United States, will be back in Washington next week. An AgriPulse report says he'll be across the table from U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer. Earlier this week, on the sidelines of the United Nations General Assembly in New York, U.S. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin says we're looking forward to those conversations. Deputy Ag Secretary Steve Sinski spoke in Kansas City Monday during the annual Ag Outlook Forum. He says the conversations that took place last week with the Chinese officials were positive and productive. Several media reports say China buyers purchased between 600,000 and 1.5 million metric tons of U.S. soybeans Monday for delivery between October and December. The U.S. Soybean Export Council reports that China relaxed import tariffs for the purchases to make sense, given a price spread that favored U.S. soybeans. Additionally, Mnuchin admitted on Monday that it was a White House decision to call off the planned trips of a Chinese delegation that they were going to take to Montana and Nebraska this week. Mnuchin said officials didn't want any confusion around the trade issues. In other news from China, China has recently been buying a lot of meat. The Wall Street Journal says their recent purchases are pushing up the prices of beef, pork, and poultry around the globe. Meat buyers are increasing their activity after African swine fever hit the country hard and reduced the size of the world's largest pig herd by more than a third. Domestic pork prices have jumped in China, and meat imports are rising in response and placing a strain on the global meat supply. For example, Brazil poultry shipments to China have jumped 31% compared to last year. Retail prices for chicken breasts, thighs, and legs have increased roughly 16%. European meat buyers are paying 5% more for pork because of their domestically produced supplies that are heading to China. American shoppers haven't felt the impact yet, but that may change. Futures prices recently rose after Chinese officials say the country could exempt some U.S. pork and other agricultural goods from some tariff increases. Many American meat companies have watched as European and South American competitors have raced each other to supply China's pork needs. In other international trade news, President Trump is hoping to sign a limited bilateral trade deal with Japan when he's face-to-face with Prime Minister Shinzo Abe today at the UN General Assembly. However, Japanese officials are pushing for provisions that the U.S. will not like. Politico says Japan wants a provision in the agreement that would allow them to blow up the agreement and slap retaliatory tariffs on the United States farm goods if President Trump moves forward with tariffs on automobiles from Japan. Multiple sources who are familiar with the negotiation tell Politico that the request is putting a speed bump in the final stages of talks. Negotiators are looking to give Japan a full exemption from Trump's tariff threat. However, Japanese officials are said to remain cautious about reassurances from Washington. This pact with Japan is a big priority for U.S. agriculture. Farm exporters say they're losing market share to competitors like Australia, Canada, and the European Union. Competitors continue to benefit from greater access to the lucrative Japanese market. Moving on into some national ag news now, a letter from 15 senators urges Ag Secretary Sonny Perdue to withdraw a proposal they say would take food assistance away from millions of families. The proposal would eliminate categorical eligibility under the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. The 15 Democrats, including Debbie Stabenow of Michigan, say the rule would impact the most vulnerable populations in the U.S., including 13% of seniors who are currently receiving SNAP benefits. According to an analysis by Mathematica, at least 3.6 million SNAP participants will lose benefits as a result of the proposed rule. In the 2018 Farm Bill, the letter says Congress deliberately chose to exclude any changes to categorical eligibility due to the devastating impact on families. Additionally, the senators raised concerns that the administration failed to conduct an accurate regulatory impact assessment. In a briefing to congressional staff, the USDA acknowledged that at least a minimum of 500,000 children would lose access to school meals. However, those impacts, among others, are not included in the required analysis. In some regional ag news now from the Midwest, just like the state soybean crop, Iowa's corn crop saw some rapid maturity due to late season heat. Dr. Charles Herberg of Iowa State University joins us yet again to say that that late season heat could have lessened the amount of a very wet corn crop across the Midwest.
They're probably going to experience the same effect of late season heat that the soybeans are. It tends to finish off crops maybe a little faster than you might have thought. And so I think that will even out, or damp out, I should say, the amount of wet corn, of very wet corn. It's going to be a little less maybe than we thought.
Dr. Herberg says just like soybeans, the corn crop saw some rapid maturity due to late season heat. This could lessen the amount of a very wet corn crop in the field. However, if you're looking for it to cut back on the variability of this year's crop, you'll be disappointed. Herberg says you can't expect the same results of corn that was planted in April to corn that was planted in June.
You can't plant some corn at Easter and some corn approaching the 4th of July and not have variability. But it probably is going to be about a lower level of moisture than we might have had. I know I was certainly concerned in about August or so that we would have a lot of very wet corn. We'll have wet corn, but probably not as extreme as we might have thought.
Dr. Herberg also says not to be surprised by low test weights from corn, not disastrously low, but lower than we are used to seeing.
And we're going to have some light test weight corn. Can't help it if we don't have a full field, full growing season, and therefore a full chance for seed fill. We're going to have some lower test weight corn. Probably not disastrously low, but we're still going to have lower test weight corn. You know, in the 52-54 pound area, as opposed to what we might normally think of 5, 6, 7, 8, 58 pounds and that sort of thing. We're probably not going to see that much of the real heavy corn.
Again, that was Dr. Charles Herberg of Iowa State University. In other news, the American Farm Bureau Federation is observing Rail Safety Week by urging rural residents to be safe around trains. Public records show trains hit a person or vehicle roughly every 3 hours. Rachel Malley, Executive Director of Operation Lifesaver, says it's important that people stay alert at railroad crossings.
People are more and more distracted and they're not paying attention when they're driving, when they're walking, when they're biking. The biggest challenge is changing that human behavior and getting people to be mindful of their surroundings and to look both ways at railroad crossings.
Rural railroad crossings are more dangerous than others and typically have fewer warning signals and signs to keep people safe. Operation Lifesaver has 5 tips for farm equipment operators when approaching a railroad crossing.
Slow down as you approach a railroad crossing. 2, stop no closer than 15 feet from the crossing. Stop, look, and listen for a train. Roll back and forth in your seat to see a round obstacle. 4, do a double take. Look both ways again before crossing. And 5, go. Once you start across the tracks, do not hesitate and do not change gears.
Malley says following rail safety tips can empower others to do the same.
Rail safety is within everyone's power to be safe around the railroad tracks. You can be a model to your families and your friends. You can wait behind the gates. You can wait when you see the lights flashing. Be safe and stay alive, and make sure that you communicate that with your family and friends.
Again, that was Rachel Malley, Executive Director of Operation Lifesaver. Moving on now into state ag news, we have the latest crop progress and condition report for you for the state. There were 5.5 days suitable for field work during the week ending on Sunday, the 22nd. Statewide, the average temperature was 74.5 degrees, 10 degrees above normal. Precipitation averaged 0.8 of an inch or 0.04 of an inch below normal. The topsoil moisture supply was rated at 11% very short, 22% short, 59% adequate, and 8% surplus. Subsoil moisture supply was rated at 8% very short, 23% short, 62% adequate, and 7% surplus. Corn in the dough stage is at 97%, corn dented thus far is at 77%, and corn mature is at 26%. Corn harvested for grain thus far across the state of Illinois is at 2%, compared to 26% in 2018 and 16% for the 5-year average. The corn condition across the state is at 4% very poor, 14% poor, 37% fair, 39% good and 6% excellent. Soybean setting pods across the state are at 96%. Soybeans starting to color are at 53%, and that's compared to 92% in 2018 and 83% for the five-year average. Soybeans dropping leaves thus far are at 14%. Soybean condition across the state is at 4% very poor, 14% poor, 39% fair, 36% good, and 7% excellent. And thus far, winter wheat plantings across the state are at 1%. Moving on now into other state ag news, Taiwan is ready to buy billions of dollars in Illinois grain and oil seeds. The nation had a delegation of buyers and end users in Chicago yesterday to sign an agreement to purchase $1.3 billion of corn and $1.3 billion of soybeans over the next 2 years. The agreement comes at just the right time, says Roger Tsai, a farmer from Newman.
Well, right now it's huge. The prices being down the way they are, and with all the other problems we're having with some of our other trade deals right now, to have a company or a country like Taiwan who we've done business with for so many years, they've always been extremely happy with the way Illinois does business.
Taiwan is the third largest export market for agricultural products. In other local news, the tax implications of the MFP payments are that the money is taxable in the year it is received. So for MFP 2, half of the payment has already been or will be delivered shortly. It is expected 25% will be delivered in a second check come November, and if needed, the third check, an additional 25% of the total, is likely to come in January. The first two checks are taxable in 2019, and the final portion would be taxable in 2020. Another payment farmers may not be used to dealing with involves the prevented planting portion of crop insurance, says Bob Ray.
Those payments are either taxable when received or under certain circumstances could be deferred until 2020, the year after the disaster occurred. So they should visit with their tax professional to determine, especially as we near year end, on whether those should be taken as 2019 income or used under the election to be treated as 2020 income.
Ray presented during this fall's Illinois Farm Tax School seminars. He reminded the tax preparers in attendance that farmers also have a unique way to make charitable contributions.
IRS has prescribed some specific steps to validate a contribution with grain. And one of those is that the grain must be delivered to the charity. The charity has to become the subsequent owner of that grain inventory. And then the producer should notify the charity that he's provided X number of bushels in their name at a certain location. The charity then, from that point, takes the risk, makes the sale, and handles the cash proceeds from there.
In simpler terms, the producer delivers the grain in the name of the charity to the grain elevator, notifies the charity, and the charity then makes the sale. Moving on into local events going on around the area, don't forget that today from 9 till noon is a Landscaping for Energy Efficient Homes workshop that'll be held at the Montgomery County Extension Office in Hillsboro. And then later this afternoon will be a Dealing with Backyard Wildlife workshop that'll be held this afternoon from 2 to 3 again at the Extension Office in Hillsboro. And then tomorrow night, Thursday, will be a beginner level 1 sewing class that will be held from 6:30 until 8 in the evening, again at the Extension Office in Hillsboro. This is the first night of a 5-week series that will end on Thursday, October 24th. And that just about wraps it up for this Wednesday morning edition of the Ag Show. But remember, if you have any ag news for us, you can email it to us at WSMI@WSMIradio.com. So for this Wednesday morning, September 25th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting for WSMI Ag News.